So let's look at the fifth reason that people leave church and what you can do about it. And this is a big one. And I'm going to tell you, I want to thank you for staying on with me on this resource to this point. And really, if I had to highlight one that is above all the others, when it's a problem that you can solve, I would say that number five is probably the easiest one for you to solve. And so here's the fifth reason that people leave church. Isolation. Isolation. I'm so lonely. Isn't that an old Frank Sinatra song? I'm so lonely. I don't know. Maybe that's a country music song. I'm so lonesome I could cry. That's an old country music song. Well, sometimes people in your church are so lonesome they just leave. You know, in my book, Fusion, I talk about how you have 7 minutes to make a first impression. Well, the truth is you have 7 weeks to give people friendships at your church or else they will leave. And so if people do not build friendships at your church within 7 weeks of attending, they will leave. Or if they've been around your church for a while, but an interruption or a sin issue causes their friends to leave and they don't make new friends, then they will end up leaving your church as well. Now, the flip side of that, and this is very positive news, if people in your church have friends in the church, they will endure almost anything. If someone has a friend in the church or multiple friends in the church, they'll stay with you through changes in style, changes in structure, changes in service times, changes in location, changes in leadership, changes in, well, you name it. They'll stay with you if they have friends in the church. So in many ways, Christian fellowship is the glue that holds a church together. Now, I studied very strongly the Purpose-Driven Church by Rick Warren. And Rick Warren talks about a church that is healthy is balanced around the five purposes: worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, and ministry. And if you've never read Rick's book, The Purpose-Driven Church, I strongly encourage you to do so. But the truth is, of all the purposes that we've talked about, worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, and ministry, the one that is least discussed in churches is fellowship. And so in a lot of churches, there is a lack of fellowship, true biblical fellowship. And I mean, think about your life. Did you have a course on fellowship in seminary? Have you ever read any books on fellowship? Now, in my thinking of the eight systems of the church, fellowship falls strongly into the assimilation area of the church and into the assimilation system of the church and into the small group system of the church. So three of the eight systems have a strong component of fellowship. And I could argue that even leadership and perhaps one other system would have a strong area of fellowship as well. And so fellowship is very, very key. And if a person in your church fails to find biblical fellowship, they're gone. They're not going to stay. So this problem is easy to solve from here on out. It's hard to solve in the past. I mean, it's very hard to go to someone and say, I want to apologize that you didn't make friends at our church, and please forgive me that that didn't happen, and come back. It's kind of hard to reclaim people who have fallen away because of isolation. Now, it's not to say that you shouldn't try, and you can do the big day, and you can actually treat isolation as an interruption, and you can go back and listen to the section on interruption and see all the things that you can do there. But from here forward, I think it is important for you to build a culture where nobody goes to church alone or nobody lives life alone, but everybody has someone who's praying for them, someone who knows them, someone who cares about them, and someone who loves them in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done so, I would strongly encourage you to study my other resources on assimilation, the assimilation seminar, the assimilation intensive. And one of the things I say at the end of the assimilation seminar is that whether you adopt my assimilation system or not, at the end of the day, if you want to assimilate people in your church, you have to give them relationships and responsibilities. And so I want you to get those two R's here, because a person that has a relationship with someone in the church and has a responsibility at the church is never going to feel isolated. You see, people feel isolated when they think, I don't have anything to do and I don't have anybody who knows me. But if they have someone who knows them and something to do, they feel connected. And that's the opposite of isolation. It's embraced. It's true biblical fellowship. So how do you solve this as a pastor? Well, one thing is you need to preach on biblical fellowship. you need to have sermons on biblical fellowship. Now you say, what is biblical fellowship? Biblical fellowship is the process of going from being a stranger to being a guest to being an adopted member of the family. And if you look at that throughout Scripture, if you study how God turns strangers into family members, you can find that all throughout Scripture, and you can preach on that. And you can think about the culture of your church, and is it a church that welcomes people and embraces people? And certainly preaching on grace, like we talked about earlier, is going to bleed over into this idea of fellowship. But then Rick Warren told me one time, he said, Nelson, if you want to take the temperature of a church, put the thermometer in the pastor's mouth. And so let me ask you, how are you doing at embracing people? You know, the first person that a newcomer is going to make a connection with is the person preaching. And so when you're preaching, are you taking advantage of what I call the first and last 15? Are you out during the first 15 minutes of your sermon meeting people, or excuse me, of the service meeting people? Are you out during the last 15 minutes of the worship service meeting people? And it's amazing how many people you can connect with during the first 15 minutes of the service and the last 15 minutes of the service. And you know what I've learned is some pastors will tell me, I can't go out and shake hands during the first 15 minutes of the service. I need to be working on my message. Well, listen, if you're still working on your message, if you don't have that complete, it's not going to be a good message. And so you need to go out there and get as many people on your side as you can. And so go out and meet as many people as you can, and maybe they'll give you grace because the message is not complete. But now the truth is, you can control the fellowship spirit of your church by meeting people, by introducing people, by connecting people. So it starts with you, and then it goes to your leaders, and then it goes down into the different areas of your church. And in particular, there are three areas of your church that can help people build relationships and find responsibilities. So here's those three. Number one is fun events. Have enough fun events throughout the course of your calendar year that attract people who are new to your church or who may feel isolated in your church so that they can get connected. Now, fun events are just one-time events. They're very low entry, low requirement kind of events. You basically just show up and you do something together under the church's banner and you have fun. A fun event could be going to a ball game together. A fun event could be going to a 4th of July picnic together or going to see the fireworks in the park on the 4th of July. A fun event could be going to a big movie together. But when you have these fun events, you look for people who are new to your church, or maybe you look for people who have gone through an interruption, and you specifically invite them to attend. Now, it's open to the whole church, but you might particularly invite people who are not as connected in your church. For example, whenever I do fun events at The Journey, I will often pull a list of all of our first-time guests from the previous month and invite them to the fun event. Or there are certain fun events that we do that I might pull a list of everybody who's not in a small group right now and invite them to go to those fun events. We've had some really great fun events at the bowling alley or at the football field where we just go and have fun, but then fellowship naturally occurs. And if you've got some people in your church who are connector types, the type of person who's never met a stranger, the type of person who can talk to the wrong number for 30 minutes, you know, that kind of person, get them to help you with these fun events, and that way they make sure everybody gets connected. And so fun events can be really powerful connection times at your church. And then if you use that fun event as a springboard for other connections to occur, that can help solve the isolation problem. Now, another solution to the isolation problem is service teams. If you can build a system in your church, like the assimilation system I talk about or the ministry system that I talk about, where people quickly get involved in serving, that will solve the isolation problem as well. Now, at The Journey, my goal is to have between 40 and 50% of our regular attenders and members serving 1 hour a week or more. And so we have a lot of positions that are entry-level serving positions. And by serving positions, I mean volunteer positions, ministry positions in your church. Simple volunteer positions like coming to the office and helping us with database cleanup or helping us with office projects. More in-depth serving opportunities by being involved in one of our teams, like working in the kids ministry, which is a high commitment and high qualification team, or serving on the worship arts team, or serving in the ushers and greeting team and things like that. But do you have positions in your church that are open for new people to serve? open for people just to show up and get involved. And you know, when people serve together, they grow together. They get connected. They meet one another, and that solves the isolation problem. And then next would be small groups. The real key to solving the isolation issue in your church is a strong small group system. Now, there's a lot of different small group systems out there. The small group system that I teach is called the free market semester-based small group system. And it's designed to get you 100% of your adults in small groups. There's a small group system that's very popular that generally averages about 50% of your adults. There's other small group systems out there that will get you 30%. But I want to build a small group system where no one is left behind, where every person is involved in a small group. And so small groups for me are the very best place for relationships to occur. Now, I want to be clear. You can't promise that friendships will occur in small groups. It may or may not occur. But you can promise that if they're going to occur, small groups are the best place for them to occur. Because small groups are the place where people can go and meet other people who are on a similar spiritual journey. And then out of that small group environment, true, deep friendships can occur. But I can promise this, biblical fellowship can begin inside of a small group. Because a small group is where fellowship can be birthed. It's where we can pray for one another. It's where we can get to know one another's names, like the old television show. I want to go where everybody knows my name. And small groups are a place where people can start serving and take an active responsibility inside the church. And then finally, small groups are a place where people make commitments. And if you use a small group covenant like I teach, then this can occur inside of a small group environment. So isolation is a real deal. Now, there are two types of people in your church. There are introverts and there are extroverts. Introverts and extroverts. The latest study I saw said that over 65% of Americans are introverted. Now, I actually think it's probably higher than that. They were just afraid to tell you because they don't like taking surveys. They're introverted. That's the problem. But it seems to me like the people who show up at our place are far more introverted than extroverted. I would say it's more like 80% versus 20%. But the problem is a lot of our programs in our churches are designed for the extroverts, not the introverts. So I want you to think about that. Are you forcing people to take too much initiative to meet friends at your church? Are there ways where you could extend special invitations for people to make friends? Are there environments that you could create that would be less intimidating for the more introverted people? Are you personally going out of your way to speak to the person who maybe feels like a stranger or feels like they're brand new to your church or feels a bit isolated? Are you keeping your eye on the people who are on the peripheral of your church? Are you examining who's not in a small group and following up with them to make sure they stay connected and feel connected? To go back to something earlier, are you cutting off people from your database and cutting off people from your mailing list just because they've chosen to isolate themselves? But you can reach out and you can embrace them and you can check in with them. Do you have a system where you go down the membership role of your church every year and check in with people to make sure they're staying connected and getting connected? Are you challenging people from the stage to overcome that initial hesitancy and get involved in a group or get involved in a service team or go to some kind of fun event? These things make a big difference in the lives of people. Because really, of all the issues that we've talked about, next to the sin issue, nothing breaks my heart more than to see somebody walk away from the church because they feel isolated. But the truth is, this is a problem that we can solve with the right spirit, with the right prayer, with the right teaching, with the right system in place. And so I hope this will help you solve that isolation problem so that never again anyone leaves your church because they didn't build a relationship or they didn't find a responsibility.